The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel of our Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Jesus laments over the city. God had chosen Jerusalem. All the way back at the time of Abraham, God was planning for Jerusalem to be a place of blessing, a place where God's people would be a blessing. And as we read in Genesis, God laid it out for Abram before he even changed his name to Abraham. To old Abram, childless Abram, "You're going to have so many descendants, you're not even going to be able to count them." And already back then, at the beginning of the promise, old Abram says, "Well, I have a child with a maid. Is that going to be the child of the promise?" Because he tried to force the promise. He's like, "Sarah is too old to have a baby, so let's have one with the maid. That should do. Because God said I'm going to have children, so let's just make sure I have children." But Sarah was part of that promise. Something that generations of people of the promise sometimes neglect. Is God made that promise to both of them. But how often throughout the generations have God's people tried to force the promise to come in their own way, thinking, "This must be what God wants. I'll just go do it my way." We've talked about this. "God, this is the direction I'm going. Bless me." Rather than, "God, what direction shall we go? Lead me." And so we come across this gospel text today. Many, many, many generations after Abraham and Sarah, the one God finally appointed to be offspring of Abraham and Sarah, to be a descendant of Ruth the outsider, a descendant of King David, King Solomon, the ultimate descendant that would be a blessing to every generation, every generation. And in Jesus' own day, when he was walking and ministering and teaching on earth, he looked at Jerusalem and he lamented, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem." You see, Jesus came and his earthly ministry was not what people were expecting. His earthly ministry was to teach. What did he teach? Any five-year-old who has grown up a Christian knows what Jesus taught. Love God. Love your neighbor. And theologians and grown-ups try to convolute that message and make it as hard as possible to understand. But it's not. It's not. Love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he healed people out of sheer compassion and mercy and goodness. He healed the blind. He healed the deaf. He healed the lame. He healed the lepers. He healed. He never tore down. He only built up. He forgave. On every level, he forgave. And that was one of the reasons that the religious people wanted him killed, is because it was blasphemy for someone who was walking the earth to forgive someone else. You see, only God could forgive. But Jesus said, not only do I forgive, but I give my disciples power to forgive. Blasphemy. But that is the character of Jesus. And to top it all off, he welcomed outcasts. That was one of the complaints that the Pharisees had most about Jesus. He eats with outcasts and sinners. He welcomes them. He treats them like people. Jesus knew that was going to get him in trouble. And he knew that in his day, just as it is in our day, that message of healing and forgiveness and love and welcome is counter-cultural. He knew when he was going to Jerusalem that the tables were going to turn very quickly, that he was walking into a trap. And it's no accident when these Pharisees come to warn him. So there are presumably a few good Pharisees that thought Jesus was okay and worth warning. And they said, "Herod's out to get you. Do you know this?" And then Jesus uses this image, and I'm glad you captured this, Debbie, with the kids and with all of us, of a fox and a hen. Now, if you've ever had a chicken coop, You know that the chickens are not the brightest, nor most defensive of the animal kingdom. Chickens can drown in a rainstorm. Jesus doesn't lift himself up to be a mama bear. He could have done that. He could have used that illustration. But he says, you go tell that fox, Herod. Okay? He's pointing Herod out as a predator. Predator animal, prey animal. You could, maybe this is like the first Fox News. You go tell that predator what? This is what I'm doing. This is what I do. I cast out demons. I perform cures. But I'm on my way to Jerusalem. I know what needs to be done. Jesus, the mother hen, not the bear or the lion, tiger. You know, think about all of the big predators that Jesus could have told us that he was. Any illustration of an animal that could protect its young. But no, he says Jerusalem. Jerusalem. How often I desire to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood. And you were not willing. This is the message of the gospel. Jesus is a gentle gatherer. Jesus, who willingly went to the cross for us, for his little chickies. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Galesburg, Galesburg, Knoxville. Knoxville, Springfield, Springfield, Washington, Washington, all of those places, all the world, for God so loved it, all the world, that we not embrace the ways of the world. We not try to co-opt God's blessing, create the blessing that we want, that we think is owed to us, that performs power and glory. But that we follow a sacrificial chicken. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who don't understand it. Jesus said, your house is left to you. As a backhanded dismissal. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. You've heard those words. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We will proclaim that on Palm Sunday, the great celebration when we remember when all of Jerusalem threw down its coats and blankets and palm leaves for Jesus and had a great parade for him. before they started shouting, "Crucify him." Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. It's part of our liturgy every Sunday as we sing the Holy, Holy. It's a combination of Isaiah 6 and the Palm Sunday liturgy. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God of hosts. And in that picture, you see the foundations of the Jerusalem temple rumbling. Go read Isaiah 6 this afternoon. And then it shifts gears. And it says, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We know that one is Jesus. You might notice it when I'm praying, when we're singing. My hands are up when I sing the Hosanna. When we pause to sing, blessed is the one, that's when I bow my head and cross myself. Always for us to remember together, that it is by the cross and resurrection of Jesus that we are called Christian. And it is by following that sacrificial chicken that we live up to the name. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.